All right. We still at governing principle number two. Governing principle number two. Making people wholesome in all aspects of life to manifest Christ's likeness. And we talked about, we said that there was four things. We mentioned marriage, motive, morality, and money. We talked about the marriage aspect. I want to start here on motive tonight. All right, number two, our motives. Now, motive is the reason why we do what we do. Motive become impure when you desire from the outcome of your actions overshadows and becomes more important than the act itself, becomes personal and selfish. So in anything, everything that you do, you always have to check your motives. Now, the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 13 chapter when it's talking about, though I have the tongues of men and of angels and I have not love, it profit me nothing. Everything that we do as it relates to the kingdom of God, we have to do it. We have to be motivated by love. Our motives have to always be pure. Are y'all with me? You can't do it and expect God's blessing on it when you're doing something. Let's say you help somebody and that kind of thing. But your motive is to get something in return for helping them. And so when you do it with the wrong motives, then God can't bless it. So it becomes personal and selfish then. So most of us start life pursuing things with unclean motives and hidden agendas. Whatever you do, you must always ask yourself this question. What is my motive? What is my motive for doing this? What is my motive for helping this person? The Bible talks about in Matthew 6, talks about, how the hypocrites used to, they prayed to be heard of men and that kind of thing. They stand on the corners and did that kind of thing. Then the Bible said that they have their reward. So the reward is, people say, they sure pray some nice prayers. That's all the reward they get for it. You understand what I'm saying? And if you help somebody and, it's so that somebody can pat you on the back, that's your reward. The pat on your back will be the only reward you'll receive. You with me? So we have to always ask ourselves, what is my motive? And one thing that you can't do, you can do it, but one thing you mustn't do, that is lie to yourself. You can't lie. If you lie to yourself, I see people do it all the time. They lie to themselves and all they do is find themselves in a situation where their life's not going nowhere. One thing that God is always going to, the Holy Spirit is always going to, he'll always check us. So we have to always listen for the Holy Spirit. Now, the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 11 and 31, but if we judge ourselves rightly, we should not be judged. We would not be judged. So how do we judge ourselves? We judge ourselves, our own hearts, by allowing the sharp two-edged sword of God's word, according to Hebrews 4 and 12, to discern its motive and expose our hearts before us. We can see all things clearly as he sees and judges the motives within our hearts before they can find expression in words and action. Then in 1 John 3, verse 19 through 22, it says, we will know by this that we are of the truth and we'll assure our hearts before him in whatever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our heart and knows all things. It's one thing. And that's one of the things that, I was thinking about this on the way here, on the road coming to school. And I was thinking about how when you follow an apostle, he's gonna make sure you're not gonna be able to be around him and be half stepping, because you're not gonna be able to do that around him, because he's gonna always push you to the next dimension. If you understand what I'm saying? And and the thing about it is your heart, you have to always keep your heart in the right place. And that's something else that has helped me, has really blessed me, is that always your heart motives always got to be right. Always got to be right before God. You understand what I'm saying? And so it goes on and says, but beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. So when we walk in the light of the Holy Spirit has given us, we will not stumble. We can assure our hearts before him and know that we are of the truth. I say this all the time. This has been my life. One thing that I cannot stand, oh Lord, I hate it with a passion. You know what that is? I mean, when I first started following God and I heard people that would call folk hypocrites, man, I hate that with a passion. A hypocrite is somebody who hides behind a mask and acts. And so you must never be a person who act or you performing behind a mask, because God can't get glory out of that. You understand what I'm saying? We have to do what we do in order to please God. That's what it's about. It's about pleasing him. So when we violate our conscience, we will walk out of light into darkness, and there will not be a covering of blood in that area. When your conscience start convicting you, then you need to start searching your heart. This third thing is morality. Now, morality involves your belief system and core values, the ability to live upright with high values of ethics and honest dealing with fellow human beings will lead us into maturity. Now, remember, now we're talking about, you know, growing up into maturity and Christ-likeness and that sort of thing. So our ability to walk upright. Now, there's so much teaching about, you know, grace, and grace really just being it's almost like it's a cover up kind of thing and stuff. But how many know grace is really an ability to cause you to be able to walk the word out? See, we can't do it on our own, but the grace of God is the thing that gives us the ability. But grace does not cover up our sin. Ugh. No, it's not a big cover up. See, what it does is grace causes us to be able to, gives us the ability to be able to walk the word out. So, in doing that, see, we have to stay, now we're talking about, you know, the word of God. We're talking about the kingdom of God. We're talking about us walking as God has ordained for us to walk. So now, if God has said that we're not supposed to commit adultery, all right? So now, if God said that, if that's in the Bible, if that's in our Constitution, which is the Word of God, then if the word of the king is law, then for us to debate about it and for us to have our own opinion about it would be a violation of kingdom principles. You understand what I'm saying? Like the apostle was saying earlier, we have this We have this democracy kind of mindset and don't realize as it relates to the kingdom of God and the things of God, we are in a theocracy. The king rules. God already made, the thing has already been written. It's in our constitution. This is what we're supposed, this is the way we're supposed to walk. And so when people start making excuses of why they can't live right and that kind of thing, something is wrong with the person, their relationship with God, when they just, they cannot live right. So one thing about the apostle is, I'm going to share something with you. He is always, I mean, if you get out of line any kind of way, he going to correct you. There ain't no such thing as, he could correct some and don't correct others. He going to correct anybody who get out of line. But the thing about it is, he taught us so much about the money message. All right. And I'm gonna deal with the money in a few minutes. But he's always told us, he said, boys, look, y'all are never to go after money. He's always said that. Always. He's never, told us about some kind of scheme that it worked. Matter of fact, there was a man that asked him, man that hadn't been a part of the organization long. And he said, well, I've been following you about, 4 or 5, months. And I just, just ask the question, how do you get people that follow you to give to you? And the apostle told him, say, look, first of all, you need to feed the people. Because sometimes we could be worrying about the wrong thing. He said, just you feed the people and you make sure that you're doing what God asked you to do. And don't spend a whole lot of time teaching the people, how to give to you. Because that's the Holy Spirit's job. And many times, pastors, they really want folk to give to them, but they're not going to give to anybody. And so, it goes back to the principle, if you reap, you're going to sow. So, you understand? So if you have a spiritual father or something and you're not sowing it to him, then guess what? Your people are not going to sow into you. Because, what comes from you will come back to you. But if it's not coming from you, then you can. So this issue of morality is not confined itself to sexuality, but to all dealing with others. You ought to be honest in dealing with people. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about, I've done business. I've been in business before. And there's been times when, I've had deals that was going on, and there was times when I've been overpaid and that sort of thing and stuff. So, but the Holy Spirit always called my hand to it. Say, okay, because your flesh will always tell you, say, look, you could use this, but the Holy Spirit always called me in. And I can't understand how people get away with all this stuff, and the Holy Spirit guiding them and leading them. Me myself. I can't get away with. I go to the store and get something off the shelf and get to the register and decide I don't want it. I can't put it to the side. I say, Lord, they got people here that work here and they put this stuff back. The Lord say, no, but you're going to go take it back. Now, see, the Lord may not do that to anybody else, but that's what he do to me. So I I got some cornflakes here, and get to the counter and say, well, no, I don't eat that brand. Let me just say, ma'am, could you put this back? Lord said, no, you're going to go take it back. So I got to go all the way back around and get on to the store and get around to the aisle where it is and put it back where I got it from. There's been times I didn't put it exactly back. And the Spirit of God said, say, look where you put it at. You put it up. It's not among the cornflakes. You got it among the Pop-Tarts. I said, my God. I said, Lord, how in the world people get away with all this stuff? And you and I'm under conviction about, putting stuff in the wrong place in the grocery store. So the high values we place on honesty, integrity, purity, peace, dependability, and etc. will reveal the strength of our morality. These core values are often neglected, and other essential characteristics often overemphasize. The ability to preach, to sing, to lead takes preeminence over the eternal core values which make a person pleasant and likable. Proverbs 19 and 22. What is desirable in a man is his kindness. And it is better to be a poor man than a lot. If core kingdom values cannot be established within the context of apostolic church believers, then the concepts of covenant relationship, folk not going to stay married unless we get this thing right. Marriage is going to be in trouble. Apostolic fathering. People are not going to really be able to follow a father because they have too many ideas of their own. And when, where are the Elijahs? Where are the Timothys? Where are the Joshuas? You understand? People who followed a man and that man poured into them. Laying down our lives for one another and kingdom community living and corporate destinies, all is going to be impossible to implement. There has been much resistance to teaching on morality. And that is why we desperately need to raise up breakthrough believers who are wholesome in all aspects of their lives and whose moral fiber must be etched upon kingdom values. When will we see loyalty and deep commitment to Arrowhead leadership like we saw in the lives of Jonathan and David, Ruth and Naomi, and David's mighty men? Praise God. That is what is driving the apostle to build people, man. I mean, what's so frustrating is sometimes when you're trying to build folk and folk seem like it's not that important. This is important. I say this is important. And having your motives right and everything is important. Your morality, you know, the way you treat folk. See, you should just treat folk right at church, on the job, anywhere you go in the marketplace, anywhere you go, you should treat folk right. Hallelujah. And so until we get this, because we are supposed to be exemplifying Christ-likeness. When folks see us, they ought to see him. You with me? Now, number four, money, this next aspect. Now, I'm going to share something with you. What Apostle said earlier, that was my first time hearing to say that. And but anyway, this is what the Lord said to me. The Lord said to me about money. The Lord said, I have raised up a man. He said, now if you look at generations that's past and gone, he said, I raised up evangelists. I raised up, you know, he raised up people, you know, like Billy Graham. I raised up people who was anointing and healing, like Catherine Kuhlman and others. And there's so many people in different areas. You know, when it came down to men, God gave Jack Cole an anointing to really minister to men. You know what I'm saying? So God said that as it relates to finishing generations, see, God raised up a person and then God placed what he need in years. God is teaching him, is training him because he's to develop other people. So the Lord said this to me. The Lord said, Jeff, he said, now, you have to catch this mantle that's up on the apostle. This is what he said to me. He didn't just say me. He talking about the people who follow. He said, because what has happened is, he said, I have used him to cut a trail. You know, a trail like you're going through the woods. He said, God said, I used him to cut a trail. I used him to cut a trail as it relates to this finance. God said, I gave him this message. God said, now he's already went through the brows. He's already took the licks. You know, people have talked about Apostle real bad, you know, because of the assignment that he had, but not realizing that God is the one that gave. And the Bible said that, who are you to judge another man's servant? So you have to be careful. This is the thing that we have to be careful about. be careful about judging the motive of a person's heart. You know, you can say that this person, you know, you don't think that this person is this or that. But when you start judging the motive of a person's heart, you're saying that they ain't right. This is what they're trying to do. This is what they ought to do. And they scam. Boy, that is a that's dangerous ground to be on. Because guess what? You don't know a person's heart. So the Lord said to me, the Lord said that he's already cut the trail. He said that just like other generals that have ran a race and have already cut a trail, he said that if the mantle is not caught, he said what's going to happen when he go off the scene, the grass and everything going to grow back up, and God got to raise another person up to cut another trail, to go through the same thing. So the Lord said this to me. He said, now, unless we understand the importance of, see, if we're not careful, we've seen apostle go through some things, you know, as it relates to the money message and that sort of thing and stuff. But if we're not careful, we'll shun away from it because we don't want to take the kind of heat that he's taking. But see, the thing about it is the trail already cut. It's already cut. So now watch this. Okay, we've learned from a natural standpoint of sowing and reaping. Why did we get that? We get that from the natural. We get that from the farmer goes out, he plants a seed, and then after a protracted period of time, then the seed grow up. And then you know, the Bible say the blade, then the ear, then the corn in the ear, and then it's harvest time. But watch this. So the Lord said to me, he said, now, if we catch this mantle, he said, we catch this mantle, what is going to happen is, he said, now, it's going to take on a supernatural connotation. In other words, it's not going to be by just planting and then have to wait for the harvest. The Bible says in Amos 9, it says that the plowman going to overtake the reaper. He said, so what's happening, if we get a hold of this, then as soon as folk planting, harvest is going to hit. Oh, I'm telling you, this is what God is doing. And so God challenged me, because see, sometimes you can think that, you know, you really, you know, that doesn't bother you what people say about you as it relates to money. And so, but somewhere in your subconscious tell you, know what people are going to think about this. So the Lord had to challenge me. And there were people in my church that weren't tithing. So the Lord said to me, now, how in the world am I going to be able to get the people where they need to be, and if people are neglecting the tithe part? So how in the world are they going to be able to really move in finances? And the first, they got to return to God what belonged to him. And so he says to me, and so you allowing them. And so when people come and they start talking about how they're struggling and that kind of thing and stuff, they're going to be looking at God like God is not doing what he said he's going to do. But they have not did the first thing, which is bringing a tithe. And the tithe is not something that you pay, because something that you pay is out of the money that belonged to you. But the tithe, you have to give it, because the tithe belonged to God. So the Lord challenged me on that. See, because for years and years I've been telling my church this, and my members here, they know. But to enforce it, you know, in my subconscious, you know, well, you know what people are going to think, you know, well, you know, it's a money deal and that kind of thing and stuff. No. God said, wait a minute. If you're afraid to deal with the money issue, you're going to miss the mantle. You're going to miss it, because I'm going to tell you something what God has given the apostle. God has given the apostle an ability to not worry about what nobody think or what nobody says as it relates to money. Because you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to get people out. He's trying to get people to break through and that sort of thing and stuff, because people a lot of folk in the body of Christ really suffer. How in the world are we going to get this gospel out? The Bible says, you know, that when the end comes, you know, they're going to be seeing wars and rumors of wars, and we're going to be hearing about an earthquake in Davos place and all that kind of thing and stuff. But then it said, but the end ain't came yet. He said, until this gospel is preached and to all the world, then shall the end come. So the end ain't come. It's got too many places that the gospel has not been preached. And the gospel cannot reach there without the finances. And so God has given him this anointing in this end time so that people can catch it. So that people can catch it. So you really have to be serious about it. Okay, so I asked myself this question. So why do I want to be rich? Well, the thing about it is, now I want to advance the kingdom of God. I want, the more I have, the more I can be a blessing. You can't, if you don't have, you sure can't be a blessing. You understand what I'm saying? So this is the thing that we have to come to a place to where you're not afraid. You're not afraid when it comes to giving. See, God said this. He said that we have to be bold in our giving and we have to be bold in our receiving. But it's something, watch this, y'all. Jesus came and he said, when he first started his ministry, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Didn't he say that? Yes. All right. Why did he say repent? Repent only means to change your mind. Change the way you've been thinking. So he came, he said, your mindset, because you got a democratic mindset, because you born in a democracy, I'm talking about us now, because you born in a democracy, you have a democratic mindset and you don't have a kingdom mindset. And so once you start focusing on the kingdom and how God, see, you can't understand how can I give and it shall be given to me if you don't have a kingdom mindset. Because you're going to think, you know, as far as I am living here in this earth, if I give and give, I'm going to give out. But he said, if I give, it's going to be given to me. Good measure, pressed down, checking together and running over shall men give into my bosom. So you have to have a boldness in your giving and a boldness in your receiving. Hallelujah. So that's the only way we're going to really be able to really function in this earth. Man, look, God's going to raise up some people right from following the apostle. Hallelujah. All right. If you look at Benny Hinn, sat under Captain Coop. I don't know how long he sat under, but he's got that same anointing that she had. You understand what I'm saying? But watch this. Okay, see, the anointing is supposed to, once one man come and cut a trail, then guess what? Amen. You're supposed to flow in it a whole lot easier than the person who came before you flowed in it. So we're going to be seeing money miracles like you ain't never seen before. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So watch this, y'all. Watch this. Because we live and we have this democracy kind of mindset, we think that, you know, if we and we always questioning every little thing. You know what I'm saying? You know, we got all these opinions and that kind of thing. But if the Bible says, if it says in the Constitution that if I give, it shall be given to me, good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give my bosom, then I have to have faith to believe that what he says will come to pass in my life. I have to believe that. I have to believe that with every fiber in my being. I got to believe that. Praise God. And my time is up. Praise God. We'll finish next week. If apostles say it.